Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you there yet? Amen, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? My name is Miles. Welcome to The Rock Church. How many of y'all here for the first time? Just raise your hand. I won't ask you to do anything. Wow, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, all you people here the first time. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here, and we hope God's going to bless you this morning. Before we start, if y'all could turn to Jeremiah 31, let me just give you a little end times, Middle East crisis update on what's going on today. Real something, 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 little nugget for you to chew on for later. One of the things that's very important to know about prophecy and or prophets is that the prophet's job was to call the people back to God. A prophet's job was not to predict the future. His job was to call the people back to obedience. And the prophet would say, thus saith the Lord, you need to stop sinning and get right. And what he would do, and one of the ways he would accomplish that, would be to tell what's going to happen in the future. But his main job was to get people to obey God. And one of the prophecies or groups of prophecies that the prophets told in the Old Testament was that Jesus was coming. And there are a lot of prophecies about where he was born, that he was born of a virgin, that he would ride on a colt, that he would die on a cross, what he would say on that cross, what they would be doing with his clothes on that cross, how he would die. All that's in the Old Testament about his first coming. But then, for every one of those prophecies, there's about 8 prophecies about his second coming. Now, I want you to think about that. For every prophecy about his first coming, there's about 8 for his second coming. And that gives us great comfort because that's our hope, is that Christ is going to come back. And one of those prophecies we're going to read today is about how he is going to, there's going to be a spiritual revival in Israel. Not only the physical land, but the people, that they are going to accept Christ as their Savior. Today they don't. And so we just want to read that to you because if we know that, the devil knows that. And the devil's job, of course, is to destroy God's plan. That's why Israel, the physical land, and the people have been under attack ever since you can remember. Because the devil's trying to thwart God's plan. So let's read this, chapter 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Everyone say, Lord. Lord. I love saying that. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Say Israel.
Israel.
Say Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them out by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. You remember, they came out of Egypt by the hand, by Moses, led them out, and they went to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. He's saying, not like that one. That was one covenant. This is a different covenant. Look what it says. It says, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33. But this covenant I will make with them, the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts, the Holy Spirit he's talking about, and I will be their God and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I remember no more. This is a prophecy about the millennial kingdom when Christ rules the earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. He's doing it from Jerusalem. God, Christ is going to come back, stand on the Mount of Olives. The Bible says in Zechariah 14, and the Mount of Olives is going to split in two. He's going to judge the nations of the world, and he's going to rule the earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And the Jews are going to, there's going to be a mad revival in the Jewish community. They're going to be saved. Now, that is may sound far-fetched to you. Think about it. Why do you think everyone hates them so much? And why do you think the hate is so strong? And why do you think the guy from Iran is talking about wiping them off the face of the earth? It's all part of a satanic plan to destroy God's plan. It ain't going to work. Matter of fact, the land that God promised the Jews, you don't even want to know how big that land is and what that includes. They're going to get it because it's way bigger than Jews, the enemies of Israel. So what we need to do is pray God's peace on Jerusalem. That does not mean we agree with every decision they make because they need to be saved. We pray that God's will would be fulfilled in Jerusalem. So let's bow for a word of prayer and pray for the message and for the world. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much that you love us. And we pray you bless Jerusalem, that your peace would fall on that city. Lord, I know we want you to come back, but we pray you don't come back until you've completed your work. And I pray we would do our part in completing that work. We don't want people to go to hell that don't have to go to hell because we weren't faithful. So I pray we would be faithful. And I pray you challenge us through this message today to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word, let's see your pens rock. And your lesson plan. Very good, very good, very good. Let's turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. I want to welcome the visitors. We pray that, hope that you have a great time. And whatever you heard about the rock to bring you here, I pray that it's better than that. It's not true. Don't listen to gossip. Thank you that you came here to see for yourself. It's not true. There's a movie, I believe it's PG, called Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas. Antonio! Every service is always, ooh, Antonio! I guess he's supposed to be cute to somebody. I don't know. He ain't cute to me, but I ain't going out with the brother. But anyway, in the movie, he's a ballroom dancer, okay? And he happens to volunteer through some very unique circumstances to teach ballroom dancing to these inner city at-risk detention youth. They're in detention. And he says, I'm going to teach them how to ballroom dance. It's a great movie. It's actually based on a true story in New York City. And he's teaching these kids how to ballroom dance. They hip-hop-eyes the ballroom dance thing. They put their little music in it. They end up going to this contest, and it's a great story in the end. And now they're teaching inner city kids how to ballroom dance all around New York City now because of this guy. It's a true story. But in the story, there's a kid in the story who basically says his father's an alcoholic. He's getting involved in a gang and he's one of the detention kids. He says, good things like what you're talking about don't come to people like me. People like me don't get good things like that. And Antonio Banderas, I like that. Got skills, like a little accent. Antonio Banderas. He says, good things come to those who show up to get them. Oh, it's powerful. Don't ever watch a movie without a pen and paper. I'm for real. You ever watch a movie and go, well, that was good, and you forget it? Write it, damn. I was sitting there going, write it, I was writing stuff. Good things come to those people who show up and get it. The question we're going to answer today is, are we there yet? We're in the book of Numbers. The series is called Road Trip. We're talking about a trip the Jews have taken from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. That's what's recorded in the book of Numbers. They started in Egypt. That was Exodus and Leviticus. Now we're in Numbers. We're going to go from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab and go into the promised land in the book of Joshua. In this book, we're going to talk, and we're going to learn about their journey from spiritual bondage to the promised land. We're going to learn some lessons about our journey, that we are all on a spiritual journey. Whether you realize it or not, you're a spiritual being, and whether you realize it or not, you're a spirit, you are yearning for God. You're yearning for freedom, for peace, to experience your spiritual potential, your gifts. And we're searching for that fulfillment in all these different places. What we're going to learn through this book and the message today is, what did the Jews do right and wrong, and what did God teach them about their journey that we can apply to our life? Today, the question is, are we there yet? Are they at the promised land? Because we're going to see in a minute that they got to the promised land in just 11 days. They got there, but they didn't go in. Why? I was telling someone this the other day. I was at a gym working out. Actually, I was doing something else there, and I was telling these people about this message. And I said, next week I'm going to talk about how the Jews walked and got to the promised land in 11 days, and they ended up walking for 38 years, and they never went in. And both these people said, why? I said, you need to come to church and find out, because I got to go. So to get us ready, I got to do a little quiz and teach you some new information. Everyone, I got five numbers for you. Everyone say 11. Say 11. Say 12. Say 40. Say 10, say 2. One more time, say it again. Say 11, say 12, say 40, say 10, say 2. Now let's see if you remember. The first number is?
Seven.
The second number is?
12.
Third number?
40.
Say it again. Oh, I'm sorry. The next number is? Next number is? Look how fast you learn. See how easy that was? Now, they got to the promised land from Mount Sinai to the promised land in 11 days. Deuteronomy 1 tells us that. It was an 11-day journey from Mount Sinai to the promised land. 11 days. They sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. Abraham had a son named Jacob. Jacob had a son named Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had how many sons?
12.
They sent one spy for every one of the tribes to spy out the land, the promised land, to see if it was what God said. So how many days from Sinai to the promised land? How many spies did they send in? How many days they spy out the land?
40.
These numbers are in succession. I'll make it easy for you, okay? 40 days. God said, I want you to go in there for 40 days and get all the proof you can. That is what I said. They come out after 40 days. 10 of the 12 said we shouldn't go in. How many does that leave left?
Two.
And what were their names? Everyone say Joshua. Say Caleb. They were the only two guys out of all the 603,550 soldiers, men over 20 years old, that went to the promised land. Everyone else died. They never made it. One more time. How many days from Mount Sinai to the promised land?
Seven.
How many people went in to spy it out?
Seven.
How many days they spied out?
40.
How many said don't go in?
Ten.
How many said go in?
Two.
Guess how many years they walked around?
40.
11 days. 40 years. Are you there yet? It's up to you. It's up to you. If you want to go in. Now, Joshua and Caleb, the reason they went in is because they had a different spirit. Turn to chapter 14, verse 24. It says, verse 24, but my servant, Caleb, and this also applies to Joshua, because he has a different spirit. Say different. He has a different spirit and has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. My challenge to you today is that you would have a different spirit. Let me explain to you what that does not mean, that you just be different for the different sake of being different. It means that you are going to change. Something about you is going to change. So you can walk into the promised land today. So your life can change today. You don't got to wait 5 years. Today. If you want to do what Jesus did, start doing what Jesus did. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Start doing it. If you want to become a prayer warrior, start praying. If you want to become a Bible scholar or just know the Bible real well, start studying. You want to become a servant? Start serving. Stop talking. Stop sitting in church and listening to me. Only. Stop that. You won't get anywhere doing that. Matter of fact, people say, well, you know, I go to this church, but it just doesn't feed me, and I just don't get enough out of it. 90% of those people, and I'm just guessing, but a very high percentage of those people, if not 100%, have the wrong perception of what church is supposed to be for. This is not to give you everything you need. That's not what it's designed for. No church is designed for that. Matter of fact, if you go to church and get everything out of church that you get for the week, you're not being a responsible Christian, because that's not all you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be studying on your own. So if you want to change, change today. Four areas I'm going to challenge you to be different, but you could pick your own. You know your own issues. Number one, be different and believe the evidence. Believe the evidence. Believe the what?
Evidence.
Very good. Look at chapter 13, verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. So what happens is these guys came back from spying out the land. How many days? And they brought all this proof that it was what God said. Look what it says in verse 26. Verse 25. They returned from spying out the land 40 days. And now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, over 2 million people, of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, just like God said." Milk being that it could support a cow. Honey means it has bees, which requires flowers, which means you can have fruits and vegetables. It flows with milk and honey, just like God said. Now, let's start right there. We went in and spied out the land. How many days?
40
days. And we saw it's just what God said. Why isn't that enough for you? Here I have a proposition. That some of y'all's butts are too big to get into heaven. Some of y'all's butts are too big for you to get into heaven. There's a joke. You ever hear mama jokes? Your mama's so big she jumped up and got stuck in the sky. Some of your butts are so big you get stuck in the sky, you won't get to heaven. Why? Let's read verse 27 again. They told him, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly," say truly,
"truly
flows with milk and honey. This is the proof that it's just what God said." Verse 28. But your Bible may say, "Nevertheless." It's the same thing. "The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, the descendants of Anak are there. The Amalekites dwell in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Uptites, and Adicites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. We can't go in. There's lions, tigers, and bears."
Oh my.
"We can't go in." So this is what I'm saying. They got the evidence that it was what God said. But they got the evidence that it's what God said, but big old Bertha butts. "I know that if I read my Bible, I'm going to be better off, but I don't have time. I know if I tithe, my finances will be blessed, but I don't make enough money to tithe. That's why. I know if I pray, God will bless me, but I don't have time. I know I should serve at the church, but I know I should go to a small group, but I know I need Christ as my Savior, and I'll die and go to hell and burn forever if I don't get him, but what? How many of you, raise your hand if God has been unfaithful to you? Let me ask the question a different way. How many of you, if it wasn't for God, you could easily, because of your behavior, be dead? Keep your hands up. Oh, put your hands down, because I like to see you do that. How many of you, if it wasn't for God, you could easily be in jail? Look, all Mary Kay looking women are saying that. God. What did y'all do? Golly. And I ain't even going to ask you what kind of crimes y'all would have committed. I mean, we could go on forever. If it wasn't for God, I'd still be addicted. If it wasn't for God, I'd be depressed. If it wasn't for God, I'd be divorced. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for God, it wasn't for God. So why don't you trust him? And why would you trust yourself? That gets you in all the trouble. Think about how backwards that is. That's how smart the devil is. The devil is so good. Oh, he is a mastermind. Next week, we're going to talk about Moses being confronted by some of the Levites. It is a great study on leadership. All this stuff. Moses is a great leader. And we're going to see how you handle when people come against you and try to dethrone you from whatever you do. It don't matter. You have to have a big job for that. It could be just throwing you from anything, cut you down. But what was so amazing about that, and I'm not going to get into it, but just how easily deceived people can be. How we have all this evidence that we are always wrong. And whenever we're right, it's because we trusted God. And yet we always trust ourselves. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I heard this CEO, it was in one of the leadership books, and it was a CEO, I don't know if the guy's a Christian or not, it really don't matter. He says, my job, my goal is to never make a decision. He's the CEO of this big company. Never make a decision. And you think, what is that? I want to surround myself with people who are so good, they make the decision. And they make decisions better than me. So I want to lead them down a road that they can make a decision better than me. I don't have to make a decision. It's a very smart strategy. Then they will own the decision. And it will be better than what he could do. We have to do the same thing with God. Let God make the decision for us. He knows better than we do. So you got a decision to make. God? Yes, exactly. You mean you go to God with everything? Yes. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you go to, you know, if you're going to get a black car, a red car, just get a car. You know, it's something God will say back to you, do whatever you want. Okay? That's his decision. Do whatever you want. We got to be able to do what we want. My challenge is to believe what God has done in your life. Look at the evidence in your life. If God is challenging you to pray more, ask yourself, has he ever been faithful to your prayers before? When you prayed, by the way, you need to pray. You can't say, well, I prayed 3 times for $1 million and I prayed 3 times, 30 seconds, he didn't do it, so he wasn't faithful. Don't be stupid. Because we do, and trust me, we do be stupid with stuff like that. We do. We're stupid. We think God should just snap and do what we want, and, you know, because he doesn't do what we want, he's not God. Believe the evidence. Believe what God is showing you. Believe what God is telling you. Believe God's faithfulness in your life. Number two. Be different and give a good report. Be that person that is positive, not the person that's negative. Be the person that says, oh, what a wonderful day, it's raining, the plants are getting watered, and not the person going, oh, it's going to flood. You're going to get in a car accident. No, it's a beautiful day because we're getting water that we need. Just be careful when you drive. Look what it says in verse 31. The 10 spies who didn't agree said, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. Then they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land which we have gone up as spies devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are great men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Let me keep reading to show you what their bad negative report did. It says in verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried and wept. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation, we're talking about 2 million people now, it said, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's go back. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, it says, all the congregation, 2 million people, said, stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared into the tabernacle meeting before all the children of Israel. They said, we're going to kill Moses and Aaron. Listen. They just saw God on the mountain. They left. 11 days. They're at the promised land. They go in. The guys come out and say, it's just what God said. We're here. We're at the promised land right now. But there's lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. And everyone says, we're going to kill you, Moses. Moses is like, what? All that God has done? And you're going to listen to those knuckleheads? Let me say a couple of things. You need to get those people out of your life. We all have them, don't we? Matter of fact, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of y'all are those people. Some of y'all are complaining about everything. Everything. You'll come to a church, and trust me, we're building this church, and I know people are going to say, oh, it's a beautiful building, but I don't like the color. I don't like the carpet. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Don't come talk to me. Please. You're never going to please everybody. This ain't about pleasing you. It's about doing what God says the best we can. Amen. And it won't be perfect. And you know what? That's okay. Because you're not perfect. We're not perfect. But what's really important is Jesus. You don't want to be that negative person. Now, there is nothing wrong and everything right with counting the cost. Okay, it's raining. Let's get an umbrella. Let's drive slow. Great. But don't doomsday me to death about how I'm going to die because of the oil slicks in the middle of the street. We all have people in that life. And if you are going to walk into the promised land and confront the giants, because there are giants in the land, you can't have people in your mind telling you why you can't do it. And I really highly encourage you to replace that constant voice with different people. What does that mean? That means some of your friends, you need to stop hanging out with them. It really means that. Why? Because they are holding you back. Listen to what these guys said. They were giants and we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. How do they know that? Have you ever walked into a room with people who were more successful or talented? They had something you didn't have. They were all wealthy. They were all educated. They had degrees. They were all famous. Whatever it is, they were all in shape. And you walked in and felt the eyeball out because you weren't what they are. And you felt, man, I'm dumb. I'm this. I'm that. And then you assumed that they thought the same thing about you that you thought about yourself. Well, how do you know that? It's an assumption. How do you know they didn't look at you and go, wow, I see God in that person? How do they know that these people didn't hear about how God delivered them from Egypt and feared their God? How do you know that? You don't. You don't. Oh, you got to walk in that room and say, no, no, no. God has sent me here. The person who's speaking to the group is not necessarily the most intelligent person in the group. That's the glory of God, that he would choose the foolish to confound the wise. Now, the reason Moses, and by the way, the reason we do that is we rationalize, is that we have defense mechanisms. Defense mechanisms are techniques we use to protect ourselves from scary situations. One of the defense mechanisms is rationalization, where there's an emotionally scary situation that is approaching us, or God is calling us to approach, and we create reasons to justify not walking into that situation. I know I should read my Bible, but, you know, I really need to watch the news, and then I need to cook dinner, and then I need to watch the sports, and then I need to tuck my kids, and by the time I need to really get a good rest so I can go to work the next day and support my family. So that's why I can't read my Bible. That's a bunch of crap. That's just crap. If you want to read your Bible and you need to read your Bible, you need to make time. You need to make time. So we rationalize, and we are convinced of our rationalization, and then we get people to back up our rationalization. Those 10 guys, yeah, we can't go in there. We got to tell you, we got to get our story straight. It's a defense mechanism. God don't want to hear your defense mechanism. Here's the amazing thing. The reason that Moses was the leader is because Moses felt like a grasshopper in the sight of Pharaoh. Moses said to God, when God called Moses, go confront Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet Earth, the most powerful kingdom on the planet Earth was Egypt. God told Moses, one guy who was a fugitive, he killed an Egyptian. He was 80 years old. He was a shepherd. He says, I want you to go confront Pharaoh to deliver his 2 million Jews who are doing all his work, his slave labor. Moses says, you've got to be out of your mind. Who am I? Who are you? What if they don't believe me? I can't talk. I stutter. No, I'm not going. That's what happened. But here's the difference between Moses and these people. Moses knew that in the eyes of man, he wasn't qualified. And he went anyway. That's the difference. God is not going to pick you to do something because you're qualified, because you're smart, because you're intelligent, because you're pretty. That's not why. I'm not up here because I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm pretty. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful, you know what I'm saying? there's a young girl in this church, she's 3 years old, and she went through a time where she didn't like me. And she says, I don't like Pastor Miles. I don't like Pastor Miles. And then for something happened, and now she likes me. And she says, I like Pastor Miles. And she said, he's a big girl like me. So I'm a girl. God is not going to choose you because of you. He's not choosing you because you're righteous. Don't think you're blessed because you deserve it. Don't think you're blessed because of something you did. It's because of God. So when God calls you, automatically you're going to think, I'm not qualified. And that is true. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't go. That's the power of the gospel. That is the whole concept of walking with Jesus. You are not qualified. You're a sinner. Now, let me give you a little background. I grew up in the 60s when there was a very clear black-white distinction. Blacks back then were very maligned and acknowledged by the general public as inferior. So whenever I was in a place where it was all white people, I had that in the back of my mind, what these guys felt. So now as you grow up, and as I grow up, culture has changed. And I don't feel that necessarily with people, but I still remember those days. And now, you know, I go into meetings now with our building and all these contractors and lawyers and architects, blah, 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 and they all got suits on, blah, 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 blah. And I look relatively young, and I'm relatively silly and have a good time. And they're all in there with the suits, and I walk in, and I'm in charge. And I laugh inside because I know it's backwards to them. And I laugh not because I say in charge, you know, it's the Rock Church, not the pastor of the church. I laugh because God is saying, Miles, ain't this funny? Them guys can't figure you out because you just like joking all the time and they're wondering how you're going to pay for this building. And they must think, are you sane? And, you know, and I'm like, I know, God, ain't it fun? He says, don't ever be serious. Just keep being silly. Why? Here's why. Believe me, I'm serious. Don't think wrong. But he says, because I want them to know I'm fun. You know, we did a survey. We did focus groups 6 months ago, or probably a year ago. We interviewed people from in the church and outside the church on their perception of this church. It's a long story, but we want to make sure that we never change. We don't want to become an old, irrelevant and lose the vision, mission, church. And one of the groups of people that we interview were people who don't go to church here regularly, but they visit regularly, but they go to another church. And this is one of the things that made me cry. It brought tears to my eyes when I heard this. When we go to the Rock, we learn that God is fun. Now, it really broke my heart because, one, God is fun, but people don't portray him as that. When do you ever go to church or think about fun when you think about God? Think about fear and damnation and I better not mess up when God wants to have fun. So God says, who do I got that just don't care about being grown and, you know, blah, blah, all the time? My point in saying that is that please, for you, do not determine in your mind what you need to be for God to use you the way he wants to use you. Let God decide that. And God has made you unique. He's given you personality. He's given you a face that nobody else has. He's given you everything about you is one of a kind. And he wants to use you in a unique way for a unique role for him. Don't get caught up in what everyone's expectation is. When I lived in Long Island, New York, and I took the Long Island Railroad to Manhattan. It's a 40-minute train ride, and millions of people every day. And I never had a suit tie job in my life. And my brother at the time, when I was back there working in the city, he was a boxer. So here we are on the train, and everybody had a suit and a tie and a trench coat. Millions. And we're on the train going, I never want to grow up. I never want to be like that. Now, I'm not saying having a suit and tie is a bad thing at all. But I'm telling you this. You don't want to be conformed to the world. You want to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God wants to pick you and use you because you're unique. And he wants you. Let him do it his way. Number three. Be different and acknowledge God as being Almighty God over all things. Acknowledge God as being Almighty God. This may seem like a very simple, oh, we already do this kind of thing. Flow with me, though. Jewish tradition is that this is one of the biggest sins that the Jews ever committed. There's only a couple times in the Bible where God says, I want to kill all the Jews. He says that. Moses, step back. I'm going to kill them all. This is one of them. And God prays for them, but this is one of them. And look what it says in verse 31. Verse 31 says, the men who had gone up said with them, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. This is the 10 spies. They said, we can't go up against these people because they're stronger than we. Now, the Hebrew word they use for than we, they believe can be translated to say than he. So let me read it that way. The men, the spies who had gone up with Joshua and Caleb said, we are not able to go up against the people, the giants, because they are stronger than he. Than God. Have you ever thought in your mind, this problem, challenge is too big even for God? Now, you may never have thought those words exactly, but if you ever said, that can't happen, I'm worried, we're not going to make it, and it's something that God told you to go do, what you're saying is that that problem is too big for God. Be careful. You don't want to commit that sin. Why? Well, it's wrong. What's too big for God? That's why I said you got to be different and say nothing's bigger than God. If you ask a little kid, you little kids, you know the Bible says you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven? Why? Because little kids believe you. Dear Jesus, please, we pray that you would just get mommy a new job making this much money and that she could be home on Fridays. They believe God. And you know what? Mommy comes home with a new job and she's off on Fridays. Not all the time. They believe God. I was preaching at the Billy Graham Crusade. Actually, the Billy Graham Crusade was here a few years ago. I think he preached four nights, and then they had a kids' crusade in the morning on Saturday. And I preached. I gave the gospel. It's like 30,000 little kids under 12. I panicked the night before thinking, they're not going to understand. And then the little boy said, you're a little kid. Why won't they understand? Oh, yeah, okay. And I talked about Jesus coming into your heart that you would go to heaven. If you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you will go to heaven. So we do the whole thing. All these kids got saved, like 2,500 kids coming forward. I meet parents all the time to this day that say their kids got saved that day. Still walking with Jesus. Little kids, 5, 6, 7, 4 years old. So I walk off the stage, and this little kid sitting on the ground. He's like this. His mother's sitting next to him. I come down, and I sit on the ground. What's going on? I don't want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. How come? Because I don't want to go to heaven and leave my mommy. He understood and he believed it. I mean, he understood for his, you know, he kind of got the gist of it almost. Hey, if God tells you something, believe him. God tells you he's going to do a miracle in your life, believe him. Don't sit there and rationalize why God is 50% right, or why God may not come through, or how the devil can stop God, or how man can stop God. Well, it's just not logical. You're right. Getting saved ain't logical. Having your sins forgiven ain't logical. Stopping doing drugs. We have a recovery ministry here called Rock Recovery. We actually have a home where people live 24 hours a day, and we have a Bible study, and they have a bonfire every Friday night. I spoke at the bonfire Friday night. It's like 200 people there. And all these people are coming out of some form of addiction. I was addicted to cocaine, so I'm a little bit familiar with the life of addiction. I never went to rehab. I was living in one day. And I know clinical studies will tell you you're recovering. And they will tell you you have a disease. They won't tell you it's sin, which is what the Bible will call it. It's a choice. I'm not saying people don't have an addictive personality. I have an addictive personality. But if I used to abuse that, that's my sin. That's a whole other story. So we're at this bonfire. And I'm telling, look, some of y'all smoke cigarettes, curse, and you've accepted that that's who you are. So even though you're saved, you hold it on to that part of you. Let it go. Let it go. Now, yes, there's a process, some longer for others than others, but if you have labeled yourself as a recovering and you hold on to that identification, that's what you'll be. I was standing outside that door last night after church. I walked out of this room, went through that door, went outside that door, and was talking to a guy, and he says to me, 2 weeks ago, we had a service where we put little cards in the baskets up here in front to vow to stay away from something. I know this man who's telling me this. He says, I used crystal meth for 18 years every day up until that Sunday. Now, I said, he says, every day. I went, he said, every day. I said, you were at the marriage retreat 2 weeks ago. He says, every day. I met him at the marriage retreat, he and his wife, and they were going through something. I remember who this man is. I spoke to him since the marriage retreat. I spoke to him the day he put that card in. And my wife, we met both of them. So I know who this guy is. He says, every day. It's been 2 weeks I haven't had it. For 18 years, every day. He says, I just want to tell you, you know, thank you, blah, 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 blah. Now, am I saying that everybody has to have that experience? Not necessarily. I mean, that may not happen that way, but I'm telling you this. It is not for you to decide. It's for you to step into the promised land and let God decide. You have no idea what he can do. You have no idea what he can do. My prayer is that he pays the building off. Now, that's a whole lot of chicken. Can God do it? Some of you might say, well, that's a lot of money, 60-something, $70 million. I don't know. You know, I don't, where's it going to come from? And who do we know? And please don't say that to me. You just pray about it. Now, does God have to do it? No. He may want us to have debt just to stretch us. That's up to God. But I ain't asking for that. I never pray, God, humble me. Never. God, give me the wisdom to do it myself. I don't want you to do it. Number four, be different and walk into the promised land. Be different and walk into the promised land. What does that mean? God's saying, you want to be blessed? Let's go. You feel froggy, jump. What you want to do? Y'all remember that? What you want to do? Step over that line. Step over the line. Y'all remember being dared as a kid? Knock that stick off my shoulder. We never did that. I didn't get that one. But step over the line? Oh, yeah. Step over that crack. We got cracks in the sidewalk. Y'all remember that? You step on your crack, break your mother's back, that whole thing? I didn't believe that. It's superstitious. But anyway, we had that. God's saying, how much of me do you want? Look at, let me ask this last question. I'll read a few things to you. If you say no to God, what are you saying yes to? What do you got?
Well, you know, I'm not going to ask Jesus to come on. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm just going to die and go to hell. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to hell.
That's just stupid. I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to take my chances with myself. That doesn't make any sense. Now, you may have another plan that's better than God. We would all love to know what that is. And we would all love to know who it is that's been there and has come back to tell you about it. Because we have someone who's been there and has come back to tell us about it. So that, and that's just straight up logic. I was talking to a guy recently, and he says, you know, he was crying. And he says, you know, my life is this, blah, 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 blah. And he says, I know I need to get saved. I said, let me ask you a question. This is why he was crying. Snot was coming out of his nose. He was straight up boo-hooing. 40-year-old man. I said, you know God loves you, right? Yes. You know that God's always been faithful? Yes. You know that when you don't have God, your life is jacked up. That's why it's jacked up now, right? Yes. Then why won't you get saved?
He goes, I don't know. I says,
well, why don't we just do it right now?
Well, yeah.
I said, let's just go back again. Without God, your life's jacked up, right? And the reason you're crying right now is because your life is jacked up. The reason life's jacked up because you've been doing it without God, right? And you know God loves you. And you go, yeah. So why don't we do it right now?
Okay.
You don't have to be, I mean, we're not talking PhD. I'm not saying anything against that guy. I'm just talking about when you really lay out the information and God is saying, I've always been faithful. I've never been unfaithful. I've never been late, always on time. I'm not always going to do what you want because God's not here to serve you. We're here to serve him. So then why wouldn't we trust him? Now, some of y'all can get saved, but some of y'all who are Christians, a lot of y'all are Christian and you're kind of like a plane over the airport just circling. You ain't going nowhere. You just run out of gas. You're like, yeah, we're in a holding pattern. We'll be here for a while. And sometimes that while is until you die. And you never take off. And you never land. You never go anywhere. You just go to church, do your thing during the week, have your party, your margarita on Friday, do a little something on Saturday, roll into church at 11:48 on Sunday. there's different personalities in all the services, okay? And this service got its own little personality. Saturday night services, you know. And then you go back and do the same thing a week after week after week, year after year after year. You get retirement, and then you retire, and you have grandkids and kids and blah, 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 and you die, and you go, oh, yeah, I was a Christian. And they say at your funeral, oh, he was a great Christian. Brother never read the Bible outside of church. Oh, yeah, they never killed anybody, never went to prison. But that don't mean they were a great Christian. The challenge is to say, you know what? I'm going to start doing something different. I'm going to start doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to memorize the books of the Bible. I'm going to memorize Scripture. I challenged the guy the other day, memorize the books of the Bible and memorize what they're all about. He says, why should I know that? Why do I need to know that? That's a very good question. But there's a very good answer. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Understanding when God tells you he's going to throw you in the lions, then you go, that's in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel went into the lion's den and he survived. I can make it. God's going to send you, deliver you from bondage. Oh, yeah, that's Exodus. Moses in the Exodus, exit from Egypt. I know that. Why you need to know it? Why you need to study it? I'm going to start praying every day. I'm going to start tithing and watch God bless my finances. I'm going to start serving and watch God open my eyes to what this book really means. And then I'm going to stop complaining about people because I'm going to realize what's really going on with them instead of listening to gossip. And I'm going to start getting ready to serve in the church so we can evangelize San Diego so I can realize it's not really about me because this ain't about you. It's about Jesus. None of us in this room are that important. I'm ministering to somebody who's going through a very hard time trying to sell a house and move out here, and they're stressing them out. And I go, let me tell you something. God can sell your house that quick. And if he wanted to sell your house, he'd do it. The reason he doesn't want you to sell your house right now, because he wants you to trust him. Matter of fact, if I was God, I wouldn't sell your house. I'd make you move out here before it's sold, just to see if you'll trust me. They ain't like that. It's my sister. She's moving. They're moving. But it's been a long story, but it's like, if I'm God, I want to see if you trust me. Let's go. What you going to do? What did God tell Abraham? Go sacrifice your son. Kill your only son. Abraham said, let's go. Walked up the mountain. He carried the wood. The son carried the wood. It was a three-day trip. In Abraham's mind, he was dead for 3 days. Jesus was dead for 3 days. Jesus carried his own wood to his own crucifixion. Abraham put his hand up, and God provided a ram in the thicket for him. And he said, okay, Abraham, stop. Now I know. God wants to see how far you're going to go. Ooh, God is the bomb. God has everything coordinated. We're going to pray in a minute. You're either going to have to say, Lord, I want to be saved, or Lord, I'm ready to change. Rock Church, I can't say it any more plainly than this. Change. It's not that easy. Yes, it is. It's one step at a time. Go home and call all your homie and homegirls up and say, I'm done. Don't call me again. I'll call you. And I will call you. Because y'all are going to get saved once I get my stuff together. Go home and go in your refrigerator and throw it out. Go in your closet. Don't give it away. Because you don't want to hoochify someone else. Throw it out. Oh, yeah, this little mini, we'll give this a. Oh, this whole top look good on that. No, no, no. Just torch it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Some of y'all got HBO? Now, I don't have HBO. I never had HBO. And there's some great stuff on HBO, like boxing. But some of y'all got HBO because you got the Nudie Booty channel. Church is where God and people meet. So we're trying to, we don't want you to think that those kind of things are hidden here. Get rid of HBO if that's your issue. Get rid of your internet. Go to Triple X Church. It's a website that will report to anybody you choose when you hit a pornography site. Triple X Church. You got a problem with that? Deal with it. You got an alcohol problem? Deal with it. You got an anger problem? Deal with it. Simple as that. Your weight, you don't have health? There's 8 jillion gyms and trainers in this city. Walk to work. Well, I live in El Cajon, work El Cajon. Leave early. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. For all y'all who want to start working out, on September 16th, we're going to walk on the Heart Association is having a walk, Balboa Park, yeah. 7 a.m., and we want to get 1,000 people from this church. We're partnering with McMillan, who is selling us our building, and the Liberty Station, where our new church is, and we're going to go for a 3-mile walk to support the Heart Association. You don't have to give any money. It's all taken care of. We're just going to walk, and it may be your day one into exercising. Let's walk. Just however you want to walk. We're going to walk and talk, and I'm going to be there. It's going to be Saturday morning, and we're going to go out there and have a great time, and that may be the first day. Actually, it shouldn't be the first day. Today should be your first day. But I'm going to be talking about it every week because I want to get y'all out there, and we have a ministry here, a health ministry, fitness ministry, to get you start working out. Why? Because you will feel better. You will have a higher quality of life, and you will be a better servant of God. Yes, you will be a better servant of God if you are healthy. Then if you're not healthy, think about it. Jesus Christ loves you. Or Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you that as you look around this room, you know everybody. You know all the deep, dark secrets. Every single one. And you know that even though people may feel uncomfortable with some things that we said, they know it's true. There are people right now with drugs in their pocket, a gun in their car, evil in their heart. There are people right now who are so critical of you, God, critical of me, critical of the church, but yet their heart is miserable. And you love them so much. If this morning you are ready to make a decision to be different, that you may truly walk into the promised land today, your life's going to change today. Pray with me in the privacy of your heart. You may be getting saved for the first time, or you just may be making a major, major transformation to really start focusing on God's blessing, his faithfulness, to really start acknowledging him as God Almighty. Just pray with me the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for loving me more than I deserve. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and offering me a life I can never make on my own. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender everything about myself to you. My sin, my dreams, my passions, I give them all up. Own me, God. Change me. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and today's your day, for whatever reason, I'm going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand up to your feet right now. If that's you, for whatever reason, God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. Good. Stay standing, please. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Some of y'all in here, God is saying, how more clearly do you need to hear it? What are you waiting for now? That's what he's saying to you. If that's you, stand up. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Some people only respond to pain. You do not want that option. You don't. Don't dare God. Anybody else? Good. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing all over this room, do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask all y'all to step out of your seat, come down to the altar, and walk into the promised land. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. Who's the man? Come on down. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Amen. 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 Who's the man this morning? Amen. Let's keep it. Come on now. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. All right, good brother. All right, now. God bless you. Amen. I would tell all y'all, never go back to whatever you just walked away from. Do not go back, and do not forget that the reason you're here is because that didn't work. It never will work, and you know that this ain't the first time you've acknowledged it don't work. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. My challenge to all y'all in here is to pick one thing that you're going to change. And ask yourself, when you pick that thing, are you really being serious? In other words, don't say, well, what I'm not going to do next week is I'm not going to talk on the phone an hour. I'm just going to cut 5 minutes off my... Don't patronize God. Be serious. What does God want from you? The more you give, the more you're going to get. And God is going to bless you way beyond what you give. Because he blesses us according to his grace. And his grace we don't deserve. So my challenge to all y'all, don't go back. If God wants whatever you are walking away from, he has what you need. Do it his way. Let's stop trying to tell God how to do his job. Let God decide how to do his job. And let me warn you, the road to destruction is very wide. Many go that way. There are a lot of people in church on that road. A lot of people that are Christian will say, oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be that committed. Get them out of your life. You can't be committed enough to Jesus. You can't. And I'm going to tell you, the world, our society is far gone from this word. You're going to be a freak of nature. But you will be so blessed, they're going to wonder why you are so blessed. They will wonder. All those people that I have those meetings with all the time, they're like this. I come in those meetings, and because supposedly I'm in charge, we always pray. I don't care who they are. We're going to pray. We did that so much that we had meetings. They would say, Miles, are you going to pray before we start? It was hilarious. And every now and then I say, yeah, why don't you? No, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor. We are the head, not the tail. The devil wants you to think he's the head. Christ is the head. He's the tail. You walk with Jesus. You set the example. You be the role model. You create environments for people to believe better for themselves. Not environments where people doubt themselves. Gossip causes people to doubt themselves. Create environments where people believe in themselves. A guy came to me recently. He says, I'm a former meth addict. Different guy. I'm a former meth addict, and I want you to thank you that I can come here and feel comfortable and accepted. What he was saying was, I'm so happy to be around people where I'm not judged, but people see, accept me for who I am and encourage me to be better. We want to be the people who create those environments for people in our conversations and what we do and what we say. Amen? This week, let's do this thing. In 11 months from now, we move out of this building to a building in Point Loma. In 11 months from now. Amen. On that day, our capacity will more than double. Physical plant capacity to serve people. On that day, we're going to have 3 to 4 times as many volunteers as we have today. Thousands more people. So you got to get ready. This is part of that. It's not that I'm going to talk to more people. That's true. But it's we're going to mobilize more people to do ministry. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And God's not going to say to me, Miles, you had a whole bunch of people in your church. Very good job. That is not what he's going to say. What he's going to say is, I sent you a lot of people. What'd you do with them? That's what he's going to say. He's going to say the same thing to you. He's going to say, listen, I had you go to a church where they were challenging every week. What'd you do? I had you go to church where they preached the word and people got saved and you saw it every week. What did you do with it? I sent you to a church that's mission was to evangelize San Diego. What did you do? That's what he's going to ask you. He ain't going to ask you how many times you came. He's going to ask you what you did. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. Let's pray for these people. Then we're going to have you all walk and follow that guy with the white shirt. All y'all, okay? Lord, thank you for these people. Pray you bless them. God, I pray we never limit what you can do in our life, and I pray we decide one thing, we're going to change, and that we would walk into the promised land, and we would expect a changed life. You are faithful. You will do it. You will do with your hands what you spoke with your mouth. Thank you. And I pray as we count down 11 months and counting, 11 months and counting, that we would get ready for what you have for us. You have given us a responsibility to be a spokesman for you in this city, that Jesus is alive and he's coming back. And I pray we would be good stewards of that responsibility. But as you know, God, it can't be one person. It has to be thousands of us. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the honor of serving you at whatever cost it is. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a right turn and move to the right. Let's give them a hand as they go out. Everyone go this way. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Who's the man? Who's the man?